Pints and Pies Podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. There's a guy named Al, and there's Danielle, and this guy, Mike Eagle, is there as well. Tights and Bites Podcast. Tights and Bites.
Podcast. Podcast, tights and fights. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. I'm the star of the Haltitude era, Al Lublin. I'm joined in the booth by my fellow members of the Nation of Conversation, the Smart Break Kid, Mike Eagle.
Hello.
And standing in for Danielle Radford, the cleanest player in the game, Rachel Sam Evans.
We all know that's not true.
Let us believe for just a moment, please.
Kayfabe.
Yeah. Kayfabe it. Coming up on this week's show, Brock Lesnar versus Oldberg.
That's so mean.
Any man with no chin can get himself a win. A series for Survivor Series. And a lot more. But first, I just want to tell a quick story behind a certain picture that we posted on our Twitter page, at Tights Fights. If you haven't seen it yet, it's myself, The Miz, and the man they call Bill Goldberg. We're going to break down the Goldberg reappearance on Raw later on in our main event, but we promised the story behind that picture, so here it is. All right, guys.
I didn't know we were promising things.
I'm a man of many promises.
Well, you need to let me know when you've made some promise about this here wrestling show.
For like 10 years, I worked as a spokesperson for Symantec, for one of their business-to-business software lines.
Mm-hmm.
So part of that was I would go tour around to call centers that they had a partnership with Dell. So I would show up, they'd pump the products, they'd give stuff away. And the idea behind this tour, to give you a Bruce Prichard, the idea was that it's not a rib.
We reached in the box of gimmicks.
I'm not going to tell you how much they made, Conrad. I'm not going to tell you. Yeah, you're really pissing me off, Bruce. So it was originally supposed to appear with Mr. T, who backed out the night before we were set to leave.
I feel like that's a real Mr. T move.
It was a real Mr. T. Like, he was like, I can't do it. I can't. I called the night before. Okay, I'm not going to be there. Sorry. I love you. Hang up. Gone. We had shot, like, promo videos that had advertised his appearance. So all of a sudden, we don't know if the tour is going to happen.
Oh, my God.
And they want to bring in a celebrity because I'm not in, like, people have maybe seen me in a video, like a sales video or something. But you want a celebrity there to drive attendance up.
You're a celebrity to us.
You're a celebrity.
Thank you.
Big time. Big
thank you. Well, I didn't have the cachet of podcasting celebrity that I've achieved now. So they were trying to get Dog the Bounty Hunter and his wife, Beth.
A real celebrity.
Real celebrity.
Got it.
They were not available for the first city in the tour, which was Austin, Texas.
Ooh.
So this was 2011. I'm sorry, because that's important to this story.
No, 2011?
2011.
Okay.
I swear it's important.
Not a year of much note, but I will note it.
So they're going through. One of the guys running the tour was another pro wrestling fan, so I brought my Intercontinental title just so we could sort of mark out over it. And as they're going through the lists of celebrities to get, one of them was Chris Jericho,
oh my God,
which would have been the greatest thing of all time because I'm the world's biggest Jericho mark.
Mm-hmm.
So they finally go, okay, we can get Bill Goldberg and we can get The Miz. So let's get both of them. So I show up. I've got the title laid out because I'm like, I'm going to have Miz sign it and maybe Goldberg will sign it too. Goldberg walks in the room, looks at the title on the table and goes, get that thing the hell away from me.
Oh
my gosh.
However, William. I will say, he was not in a good place with Vince McMahon, but he was really nice. He was there on zero sleep. Rather than going to take a nap right after, he stayed and talked to us for a couple hours, just about family and a little bit about his career. And as a part of that bit, he carried me on his shoulders. He put me in a fireman's carry and carried me around the room, which was amazing. And I was when we're getting ready, we're rehearsing it. I'm like, are you sure I'm not too heavy for you to pick up? And he looked at me like I had said, do you think you'll be able to lift that pillow up?
Oh, boy.
And then immediately he's like, all right, just like I felt never felt more safe or lighter in my adult life. I felt like a child again.
I know that feeling that you're talking about when a pro wrestler picks you up and it is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of don't ever want
it's
that
the
to
safest
to me.
Feeling in the entire world. Yeah. Not only do you feel safe in their arms, you just feel safe in the world.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big time.
So Miz shows up in a tailored suit wearing Louboutin shoes.
Shut up.
Like spiky shoes. And he signs the very perfunctory, he shakes hands, he's very nice, he signs the IC title, he's very respectful of Goldberg, who's like giving him the ropes, he's like, don't let Vince tell you this, don't let blah, 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 blah.
How long had The Miz been in the company at that point?
I mean, this is 2011, so I'm going to say 3 years, three, 4 years maybe? I don't think he had yet, he didn't main event WrestleMania until 2012.
Mm-hmm.
This was right around the time he was doing Miz Truth.
Okay.
So,
I don't even remember that.
He apparently, WWE didn't know that Goldberg was going to be at this event. And they got a picture of the two of them together that started circulating around the internet.
Zoinks.
And I believe The Miz got punished a little bit for that.
It's not his fault.
He got punished by headlining WrestleMania the next year?
No, because for a while he like disappeared from programming and he kind of went into losing. Like he... All of a sudden, he was getting buried a little bit.
Wow, this is all your fault.
It's not my fault. I was just there for it. But I did get the distinction of being carried to the stage by Bill Goldberg and then run down on the mic by The Miz.
Nice.
God, I want to get speared so badly.
Incredible. You don't.
Yes,
do you
I
really?
Do. Yes, I do.
Do you?
Yes.
All right.
Yes. If there are any wrestlers who are listening to this, spear me. But
come here and do it. And yeah, also please be clear about what you mean.
I mean the wrestling move inside of a ring or not. I don't care.
Yeah. Just to put a button on the story, I'll give you the very truncated version, which was that after they left and I worked with Dog the Bounty Hunter and his wife, I got injured by both of them, like physically injured, and then they weren't able to do the last city. Goldberg came back.
Elaborate, please.
Oh, I'll tell you later. That's a story for another time.
Also, remind me to
sexual injury.
Oh no! Did he spear you? But no. just remind me never to go to an event with you. You're gonna get talked about. You're gonna get carried around like a child, and then you're gonna get injured.
I don't understand. What part don't you mean, of that story didn't sound great?
Yeah.
To you?
Don't you want to go to every event with me?
It's all terrifying to me. I really like. We talk about feeling safe. I feel safe with my feet here on the ground, sitting with my butt in a chair.
Well, you would feel safe if Bill Goldberg carried you.
Mm-mm.
He's
I don't
a
want
good.
Him to touch
he's
me.
A mensch.
He's a mensch.
He's a mensch. And I like him a lot, personally.
That's interesting.
And it made me appreciate his wrestling work more because I knew him to be a good person. Sort of like, you know.
Because it does not stand on its own.
it stands as a work of entertainment.
You just know he likes you now. That's all.
I bet he does not remember who I am.
Yeah, hey, but he likes you that day.
He did. He was very
Can
kind.
I ask you a really personal question?
Sure.
Did your penis touch his shoulder?
No, I was wearing pants.
Well, I don't mean skin-to-skin contact.
No, because he carried me in a... I was on my side, on his shoulders.
Oh, so probably... Oh,
I'm so sorry. I feel like that didn't go the way you wanted it to.
Definitely not.
Well, no further questions on that. Like I said, more non-penis-related Goldberg stuff coming up in a bit. But
we'll
let's move on to our chinless savior, James Ellsworth, who had a title match against WWE Champion AJ Styles this weekend on SmackDown. And just really quick, we should address the fact that David Otunga had an actual funny line for maybe the first time in his career after Ellsworth hit AJ with a super kick. Let's listen. I hope that match is the turning point for David Otunga as a commentator.
He actually did a lot better this week. I noticed that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, I still hate him a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I do.
Otunga did a good job, and Ellsworth did win the match, even if it was by disqualification. So last week, we discussed how we were on board the Ellsworth bandwagon. But Rachel, we didn't hear from you because you wasn't there.
I was just screaming at my radio. I was about to say, I said it. Still said radio.
Because you went back to 1943 to enjoy the match.
To 2011. It's important to the
story.
Oh, back
to 2011. Yeah. It's very important to the story. Well, it was a storyline for The Miz. Anyway, what did you think of
opinions.
What do you think, Rachel, of Ellsworth in the WWE up to this point?
I absolutely love it. I think he is bringing something fresh and new, and he's giving us something to root for, and I love him. He's just a great character. I mean, if you're going to have a jobber, make it a jobber, not somebody who is just not like on a title run right now. Like, I don't want to see our superstars jobbing to larger superstars, I guess, if the WWE deems them larger at this point. So I really enjoy the like strict jobber role. I really like him. He's just so likable. Like, he is so sweet in his little hands and his little face. He's just so sweet. I can't get enough of him.
Yeah, he is. And I do like that what he's done to that feud is give more dimension to both characters.
That's
you
true.
Get to see a lot more ego from AJ Styles, and you get to see more craftiness from Dean Ambrose, which has been missing for a little while, I think.
Yeah.
And it makes you want to see them, like, they haven't wrestled each other, but they've kept the feud going, and now you are ready for them to wrestle one another again. So, but Mike, you were a vocal supporter of Ellsworth last week. And do you plan on buying that great new T-shirt that's available at WWEshop.com?
I would buy it if it was on Pro Wrestling Tees or somewhere, like, you know what I mean? Like, you can't buy the WWE Shop Zone James Ellsworth.
Why?
Because that's corny, man. Like, that's too. That's like if his shirt was at Target. Like, everybody's gonna have it. I don't want the Ellsworth shirt that everybody has. I want like the one he sells at like PWG when he's.
I bet you he'll make a Pro Wrestling. If he doesn't already have one,
he does.
That's what I want then.
Any man with two hands has a fighting chance. I think he has a shirt for that.
And I'm telling you, every time I think of that phrase, I see him with his two little cute
little
hands.
Baby hands.
And I just smile. Every time I see him do that, it makes me smile when he puts
like
his little fist up.
He
is.
It's so cute.
He's the cutest man that I've seen in quite some time.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
He really is adorable.
He is.
God, sweetheart. I want to swaddle him.
Oh, and that thing when AJ tried to put him in a chin lock and he slipped out and he pointed at his chin. Was the best. Oh, that was just heartwarming.
And there were no near-death moments this week, which is nice.
Although he had trouble taking the abdominal stretch into where you were.
He did fall.
Pulls his leg out.
He did fall.
I don't know if he knew. I mean,
he didn't know the balance point.
Yeah, look, I couldn't do it for sure. Yeah. I wouldn't have been able to do any of the things he did.
He's been wrestling for 14 years.
Yeah. He owns a school, doesn't he?
He's got a promotion in the Baltimore. Listen to his interview on
Talk Is Jericho.
Talk Is Jericho.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
I started to. Yeah. And I was like, I like this guy.
Also,
and
this
then
is...
I start to feel bad for him because I feel like people are bullying him. And like, I'm bullying him.
But how that's, are you bullying
it, it's,
him?
He's going to sell tickets and T-shirts that way.
That's true.
As long as you're talking about him, that's a good thing for any wrestler.
Yeah, and he's not, you know, if he had a like won the title or something, everybody would hate him. But I think he's actually doing okay.
He's doing the right
role.
Thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know?
And the finish of that match was the most logical.
I love that.
Finish.
AJ just decided to beat the hell from him until he got disqualified. Yeah. I was like, yes, this is exactly how this should go.
Yeah.
Oh, so exciting.
Well, let's move on from James for a little while.
If we must.
And go over to NXT, which we haven't talked about, I think, since the show began.
Yeah.
A couple months ago.
I don't think we have.
Oopsie.
Aside from various single titles feuds, the show's been taken over by the second annual Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. We're about 2 weeks into it so far. Andrade Cien Almas finally turned heel after he and his partner lost to The Revival.
Oh, did he?
Yes. Yes, he did. Fine. We've been waiting for it.
Still dressing like a douche.
Yes, he's still wearing pajama lounging pants.
Ugh, and suspenders.
And suspenders.
I ain't got no problem with that.
Yeah, really? What if they fell down? Silk is a very slippery material.
It's
practical. Why don't you just wear pants to fit? You're in the wrestling ring.
Well,
why don't you go tell Sabu to do that?
Yeah.
He didn't need suspenders either. He held his pants up with wounds.
They just healed over the waistband of his pants and held it up.
Never.
Satin pants can be fickle.
That's true. That's true. We also had the debut of Sanity, which is the new stable with Eric Young, Nikki Cross, Alexander Wolfe, and Sawyer Fulton. So obviously it's a big happening. It's going to culminate at TakeOver Toronto right before Survivor Series. Let's get to some questions, though. Mike, tournaments have a long history in the WWE. You've got King of the Ring. Recently, you had the Cruiserweight Classic. You had the Deadly Game Tournament.
Deadly Game.
From 1998, which crowned The Rock with his first WWE title. How effective do you think they are for wrestling as a booking tool?
I think they're fantastic when there's an actual plan. if you look at the booking of the Cruiserweight Classic, man, like, given who they had stick around and given who was just there to do one shot, they elevated a cool amount of people and weave storylines from NXT and stuff and into it. And it was great. But since then, the Cruiserweights on Raw look like poop. And like, so none of the momentum of the storyline interest is able to carry on further into that. I think it's just so important. Because, you know, what you do in a tournament is you have this instant drama elevation machine from first round to the last round. And it's a storyline in itself. And you can put all of this heat on a person. But if you don't have anything for them to do, it doesn't matter, you know? So I think it's a cool thing to do. But it's just like the last, what, two or three King of the Rings even. It was just, you know, you get the drama from that one night. You get the crown. You get the coronation. And you get a week's worth of buzz. But if they don't have a plan for you, then... it's all for naught.
Well, you bring up a good point there, which is that the last couple have been on the network. Cruiserweight Classic was successful because of the network, because they put him in front of a crowd where it's harder to fail at Full Sail. But then King of the Ring inexplicably becomes a network special, but not really, not in the way that a pay-per-view is. So Rachel, with these tournaments being relegated to network specials, including, was it Bad News Barrett was the last King of the Ring, and then that's disappeared and has not come back. Do you think that the tournament should move back to television or move back to pay-per-view event? I mean, is it?
I think that
where are tournaments best used?
I think that the problem is not the platform. I think the problem is that there are no stakes.
Right.
Like, if there were stakes, then people would watch it. Wrestling fans would watch it wherever it is. Of course, if it's on television, it's more accessible to the casual fan, but the casual fan doesn't care and won't stick around for an entire tournament, so it doesn't matter either way. So it's just the purpose of the tournament. If there's no end point, just like what Mike was saying, if there's no reason why we're doing this and there's no plan for this winner to move on except for glory, it's like, yeah, just have a match then.
Right.
Yeah, I need more stakes. Like, Cruiserweight Classic felt like there were stakes. Like, these are these outsiders coming in to compete for fame and for the coveted spot in the WWE. And this is just like, who are these? Why are these people together? Like, No Way Jose and Swan are together. Isn't that right?
Yes.
I actually love that. What am I talking about? That's great. I love that.
You know what else I loved?
The shit out of that.
I loved that Sanity debut. It was a little close to the Wyatts in terms of presentation, but that whole like completely blacked out arena except for like floodlights thing where they're coming down, it was the most like dystopian video game kind of first person shootery gimmick I've seen in a long time, and I thought it was really cool, and I liked seeing Eric Young be a maniac, so I'm there for Sanity. Definitely there for Sanity.
Yeah, it's good. Look, it was I like that debut. I also agree, but I agree with you, Rachel, that they have to have something to fight for. And I think that goes to everything. The idea that two tag teams face off and what could be just a normal match on the card is given stakes when the announcers say, hey, if the Vaudevillains are able to defeat American Alpha, that's going to put them that much closer to title contention.
Right.
So everybody's sole goal in being in WWE, whether they're tag team or single, should be to win a title. They should always be trying to get in contention. And then those personal issues branch off when somebody gets screwed out of a title shot or they get screwed out of their title. And then that starts personal issues, which lead them off to the side. But they always come back to being in the hunt for a title somewhere.
Right.
King of the Ring meant something when it was a story tool, when Kurt Angle won in 2000 and then in 2001 was trying to repeat, and Edge beating him started to turn Edge face. It created jealousy with Christian. Like
it was a springboard to come back.
I want it back too, but it seems
so
like
so many characters right now that would thrive with Jericho and Owens.
Yep.
I think New Day having King of the Ring would be insane.
Yeah,
and that would be a cool like heel turn for them too. I just there's like too much cool with that to waste.
But to your point, it's got to mean something for whoever wins. It can't be, when I win, I just start wearing a crown and a purple cape.
Right. Yeah.
And then my new gimmick is King whoever.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
I don't trust Raw with the King in the Ring. I think SmackDown could do well with it because they have a really good track record recently of like elevating people.
Yeah.
I feel like Raw, they don't really want to move anybody around.
But they don't have Jericho.
I get it. Yeah. I understand.
Brett. What if there was a King of the Ring and then the king reigns over both SmackDown and Raw?
Definitely there for that.
Fantastic.
Oh my God.
Or make it an interbrand.
Excuse me. I need to call McMahon.
Beep up, boop boop.
Hello.
Well, goddamn, pal, what do you want?
It's me, your honey.
Oh, hey, honey.
Oh, God. God forbid.
I'm strutting over right now.
I will say, I don't trust Raw with the cruiserweights either. This is my pitch for the cruiserweights.
I'm really upset at the cruiserweights right now.
Give them an hour-long show every week after NXT.
Ooh, like
Network,
superstars.
Only on the network.
You know
and
what?
Make it about all of those guys trying to win the championship.
I learned recently that that's what it was supposed to be. It was supposed to be a network show. I don't know how the hell it ended up on. I guess they were just scrambling with ways to fill that extra hour on Raw. Ended up putting it there, but it was supposed to because it doesn't fit right now. I hate that Cruiserweight segment this week on Raw with that terrible, terrible conversation with
Gulak and Nice.
Gulak, Nice, and Kendrick and Perkins and Swan and Cedric on that canned dumbass dialogue.
Yeah.
That like just it was just like watching a horrible movie. And I just cannot understand how it is that they think this is supposed to work and get people invested in these characters. Because right now I just hate all of them.
I feel bad because the whole thing about the Cruiserweights is that they are these incredible athletes from around the world, and now you're stifling them on Raw and not letting them fight. Like they can't. They're not fighting.
Yeah. You're not seeing what you like about it. But when they do fight, they don't have any characters, so you don't know who to root for. You don't care.
And then they panic about them not having characters, so they put them in these really stupid face and heel cat that have nothing to do with who they are as individuals.
Yeah.
All the bad guys stand over here and the good guys stand over here. What? Come on. Like,
I feel like we're past that age
in
wrestling.
There's literally nothing for cruiserweights to do on Raw other than fight for the cruiserweight title. Mm. There's literally nothing for them to do. But let's move on from the Cruiserweight tournament and the Dusty Rhodes tournament to 5-on-5 teams. We got three upcoming traditional Survivor Series elimination matches between SmackDown and Raw, all men's competition, all women's competition, and all tag team competition, which, let's face it, is all dudes because they don't put women in tag teams. And that is a criticism, not me going, women tag teams. Rachel.
How could they?
I couldn't believe. I almost dropped my monocle.
You mean two women?
And I could never. Sir, this is the Victorian age. It's 2011. I have an antechamber. Rachel, we knew that once the brand split happened that Raw versus SmackDown matches were a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Are you interested in these Survivor Series matches? And why? Or why not?
You know, I feel apathy, which is not great. I guess I'm interested to see and not so much the fact that Raw and SmackDown are against each other, but I'm interested to see how the wrestlers on each respective team interact with each other.
Right.
That's the interesting part, I suppose.
Sure.
I don't know. Am I wrong for feeling apathy?
I don't think it's been.
Yes.
First of all, feelings are never wrong. They just are. There are no wrong feelings and no right feelings. And lack thereof. Apathy is a feeling. It's a feeling of nothing.
Great.
I don't know that they've done enough to build it yet. All we've had is a challenge extended and a challenge accepted. But they did start weaving in that, hey, Jericho and Owens, you can't fight because I need you to be on the same team for Survivor Series. So you having issues is bad, which of course sets up a lot of the interpersonal dynamics on both shows are going to be on display in those matches. Can these teams come together to defeat the other side? Which is greater, the internal struggle or the external struggle? That's going to be the storyline that gets built. So
I guess
why should you care yet?
I guess it does. I guess actually thinking it through, it does. It does open the door for a lot of like heel face turns and shifts in dynamic, which I'm all about because if everyone is involved, then something has to change.
Right. You would think so.
Yeah, but you know, it's the WWE.
You know, two things.
Please.
One, I've been conditioned to know that if 10 people are standing around a wrestling ring on the apron, nothing important is going to happen.
Yeah.
It never does. It never, ever does. And the other thing I think this whole thing is built on is conceit that fans give a damn about the Raw versus SmackDown dynamic. And I don't know if that's ever going to be the case, really. Like, we have the show that we prefer.
Right.
Like, you know, I like SmackDown better than Raw, but I'm not rooting against Raw. Like, you know what I mean? These are these are superstars that I appreciate and I enjoy, and I watch both shows every week. So I don't have a dog in the fight of, like, I want this team to win versus that team to win. And without that dynamic, I don't know why you have these matches. I really don't.
It is so early in the brand split that it's not like, what would happen if Kevin Owens got in the ring with Dean Ambrose? Can you imagine? What a dream match.
When worlds collide.
Yeah, we haven't had that yet. But let me ask you this, Mike. Survivor Series is the one of the big four pay-per-views that has kind of lost its identity in the past several years.
Yeah,
Over a decade, I'd say, even. Do you think that they should continue with these Survivor Series traditional matches?
No, they're stupid. They're
so
dumb.
So what would you do to give it identity?
Dumb matches.
How do you fix it?
Scrap it. Scrap it.
No more Survivor Series.
What is the reason to keep it?
I like the elimination match. You're going to tell me right now.
The match in 2014
was not good. Team Cena versus Team Authority.
Do I remember it? Oh, that's the one where Ziggler was made hot for two weeks.
Now you remember.
Y'all can't see this, but they're pointing at each other.
but you're
I'm sorry, I'm so rude.
Now in hindsight, in hindsight, it seems like a wasted opportunity because where did Ziggler go? He went
right.
nowhere.
Now you're right. They could have built off of that. And in that sense, they had, there were stakes in that match.
Yeah.
And there were faces and heels. I mean, I guess you can, yeah, if there's stakes, like you and Rachel have said, and then there's actual clear face heel dynamic, then I guess the match can be in service of something. I don't like the idea of pay-per-views with three of any kind of match on them. And that goes for Hell in a Cell, Survivor Series. I don't need three of the same kind of gimmick match. Because, like, you're automatically downgrading to me the special quality of any of them.
So you're not looking forward to Hell in a Cell?
I'm kind of not. Like, I'm a little. Yeah. I feel already overwhelmed and worn out by the concept, and none of the matches have happened yet.
Yeah.
But haven't you heard? This is the match that. This is the pay-per-view that ended Mick Foley's career.
Yeah.
Haven't you heard?
You didn't know that?
It's so exciting.
I did know.
You can share opinions on any of the stories that we talked about or bring up something we didn't. Lucha Underground. Be sure to join our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/tightsfights and let us know. Or you can yell at Julian on Twitter at tightsfights.
If y'all want to talk about Lucha Underground, hit me up.
Yeah. HMU.
H-M
says R-S-E.
Yeah.
When we come back, we're talking all about the man whose reappearance has the internet reaction well split. That's coming up on Tights and Fights.
A Thai is a pedantic person. I think when he pronounces these words, it's in a very show-offy way. Gyro.
Gyro.
Sacre bleu.
Sacre bleu.
Ayers Rock.
Uluru.
What you are witnessing is real. The participants are not actors. They are actual litigants with real cases. They call in via Skype to Judge John Hodgman's court. The real People's Court. Now I call you to Judge John Hodgman's Internet Court. Find it at MaximumFun.org or wherever you download podcasts.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Loveland, and with me in the booth to talk about all things wrestling are...
Michael Eagle.
And...
Rachel Evans.
Yes, correct. Two for two.
Right.
Every week, there seems to be one thing that gets all wrestling fans talking more than anything else. And we like to add our voices to the conversation in this, our main event. This week on Raw, Goldberg answered the challenge from Paul Heyman to take on the Beast, the Conqueror, Brock Lesnar. Goldberg cut what I thought was actually a pretty solid promo. And ended with this line confirming his intentions.
Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last.
You're last.
I like it. I like Hey Look. He's an Oklahoma boy.
Oh, Hey Look. Orky.
That's not what I sound like.
You're last. Is that right?
You're last.
Yeah, that's great.
Look, what's interesting is how split some people are. Some are really against Goldberg coming back. Others still pop for him. Let me just start out by saying that this is, look, the initial introduction of Goldberg to WWE in 2003 was fantastic. It was really well done. You were excited to have him there. The reintroduction of Goldberg Monday night was fantastic. I was excited to see him there. And somehow I came out of that segment excited to see him wrestle Brock Lesnar, even though I remember watching their match at WrestleMania 20, which was not a good match at all. I thought it was
a disaster.
Terrible, because it was two people on their way out.
And everybody
now you
knew.
Have guy with his back against the wall, like, I'm retiring, one last fight. My one last fight is going to be beating you again.
Right.
That match was like the first appearance of the IWC.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, in a crowd it was, for sure. Yeah, that was really it. So, Mike, have you ever been a Goldberg fan?
And yeah.
What do you think of this return then?
I wasn't excited. Now I am excited. I thought the promo was fan-damn-tastic, man. I didn't know he could really do that. And that crowd was really genuinely sweet to him.
Yeah.
In a way that was very touching. It reminded me of Shane's return.
Oh, that was so good.
Yeah, and I thought it was great. I mean, it's a nostalgia pop. It's going to be a nostalgia run, and if it's limited, then I think that they should have an easy job keeping the energy for it high throughout the program until Survivor Series, where he's to Survivor Series, where he's likely to do the honors to Brock, which makes sense. And I hope that physically he's still able to kind of bring it at that high level, because this match is going to have a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I can tell you 5 years ago he was in great shape, because I saw him switch from one T-shirt to another T-shirt. I was like, Jesus, that guy still looks like he's in the ring. Okay. Like, super muscular dude. I know it's been 5 years, but he looks the same.
He still has a lot of MMA training too, right?
Yes. Yeah. He does. He runs like an MMA, I don't know if it's a training facility, or he does like commentating, or like he's somehow involved in that world.
He does look smaller though.
Yeah.
He looks smaller.
They put him
probably
in a big jacket.
He had like five jackets on.
Yeah, well, I think that was intentional. I think that he needs a little time to bulk up.
Uh-oh.
Maybe.
He's going to get some of them Brock drugs.
I think he's going to get gassed a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Look, Rachel, a lot of people who are against Goldberg and are sort of bored by this type of angle are kind of against the idea of older wrestlers in general getting the spotlight when there are younger folks in the wings waiting their turn. So right now, of all the champions that we have, Ziggler's probably the only guy who wouldn't be considered new guard.
Right.
And is holding a belt. Do you agree with that sentiment that older wrestlers coming in steals the spotlight from younger wrestlers?
No, that's why wrestling is so special. I mean, it's like being president. Once you're president, you're always president. Once you're in the WWE, you're always in the WWE, unless you do something that Vince McMahon doesn't like. But no, I don't think there's anything. I think it's like a beautiful thing. I think that part of being part of like a wrestling fan base means that you're like, you share experiences. And if you have shared experiences with this one person, that's like love and nostalgia attached to that. I don't think there's anything wrong. And I don't think it takes away from anybody either. Like, just because everybody can have a piece of the pie. You know, it makes me excited about the future. Like, to think about Kevin Owens coming back in 20 years. That excites me.
Well, in this case, for sure, it doesn't take away from anything. You may recall, I'm sure I've told everybody here, including Julian, multiple times, that I think the best use of Brock Lesnar is attraction matches.
Sure.
This is an attraction match.
It is.
Right.
This is like the best possible attraction match. It's a rematch of something that happened, 16 years ago now?
Right.
No, 12?
12, yeah.
12 years ago now?
And like what we were talking about last time I was on is it doesn't hurt anybody on the roster.
Yeah.
Because when you put people against Brock Lobster, he's going to just demolish them. He turns real red when he gets mad. He's going to just demolish them and lessen their power as a superstar. So I'm so glad that tickled you.
We went to the arena. We went for a wrestling match.
Brock Lobster.
But that previous match 12 years ago is another reason most people are against the return of Goldberg. Because it was reviled. It's probably one of the worst matches in WWE history. In terms of the reaction,
it's
sort of like
it's not a really
inoffensive
bad match.
It's plotting.
far worse matches.
But it was meant to be. It was an attraction match then. It was these two monsters that have never faced off, facing off. You knew both of them were leaving.
Yeah.
And because of that, people weren't really into that. Do you think, based on how they're selling the video game, where it's a backstage brawl between Goldberg and Lesnar, do you think this match would be better served, Mike, if it was similar to that? If it was a false count anywhere backstage brawl?
I've never really been for any of that, though. Like, I don't, you know, just have a damn match in the ring. Like, you know what I mean?
God, somebody, you would hate Lucha.
somebody try to pin another guy in some way to make some sort of logical sense, you know? I'm there for that. Like, I don't like it. I really don't like anything that kind of takes the audience out of it. And I feel like that when you take it out of the ring and you got y'all and catering, who gives a shit? Nobody wants to see all of that. I think you have it in front of the people, you know, people paid to watch it. And also, I've noticed with me, it gets into my suspension of disbelief when they take it out of the ring, too. Because they start picking things up and hitting people with them gingerly.
When they're like clear props.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
they're heavy things that you're hitting people lightly with.
Yeah.
And like that's the whole fight now.
I get that.
What if it's false count anywhere and they do around the floor and around like through the crowd a little bit?
But they won't do that.
But what if they did?
I mean, I never have a problem with one of the announce tables being destroyed by a person. I just think that most of the action should take place in the damn ring.
I want to see a match where somebody destroys all of the foreign, like makes their way over to like the Israeli announce team and destroys their
just every single one.
Like in the same match, that would be fucking.
Oh, yeah. Becomes an international crisis.
That'd be epic.
I'm gonna call out that the first person to do that will be Dean Ambrose. He will break all of those tables in one match.
He's looking so good these days.
Yeah, he's back on track. But let me say this, Brock. But more Bill, my buddy Bill. I know you probably do not remember who I am. But I will tell you, I wish you good luck. Since you're both part-timers, chances are we're not going to hear the crowd saying, hey, hey, goodbye this time around. And no stunners, no Stone Cold to come out as a little four-wheeler and give you stunners.
What if he did?
Hey, I would be into that.
I'd be so into that.
I guess so. Sure. What city is it in this time?
Your butt.
That's
yeah,
not
it's
true.
It's in your butt.
That's not
pretty
true.
Pretty sure.
I roasted him.
No.
I got him so bad.
But I had to really think about whether or not I was going to be in my butt. I already
checked the event calendar. It's booked that
shit.
Week.
Yeah, I've been dealing with you so sincerely. I didn't think that you would.
We're coming to you live from Open Mike Eagle's butt.
Who was that, JBL?
That was Jim Ross. That was what he's really excited about.
Okay.
Survivor Series live! After a break. Somebody's going to have to hold Rachel's hair during this break so she can throw up everywhere.
Yeah, I'm gonna vomit.
Just from me. But after a break, it's time to spotlight some fun stuff from the world of wrestling. You're listening to Tights and Fights.
Mugs, shirts, stickers, patches, tanks, and more are yours for the purchasing at MaxFunStore.com. Hey, you already love the podcasts, so why not take this to the next level and outfit your home and bod with our merch? MaxFunStore.com. Because if you have to wear a shirt, it should be one of ours.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin. With me in the booth are
Mike Eagle
and
Rachel Evans.
To finish off the show, we're going to put over three things from wrestling that we thought were funny or interesting. We call it the three count. Mike? I'm going to allow you to kick us off. What do you want to put
over? This is the first week I was seriously considering burying something instead of putting something over.
Really?
Yeah, because that damn Cruiserweight segment on Raw that I will not let go of because it has offended me in my heart and my sensibilities very deeply.
Let's play that in its entirety three times in a row.
Yes! That's what I want. But no, I'm putting over Talking Smack once again, which is, I think, you know, I actually find myself getting more excited about than just about anything else in the WWE programming week. I just love it, love it, love it, love it. And last night's episode was not particularly great. AJ Styles was on it, and he did a shoot promo that didn't go that great. Someone else, Hype Bros were on it, and they were kind of interesting.
Okay.
But Baron Corbin was on, and he had the squash match, basically, where he squashed Jack Swagger on the show, which was very surprising.
Right.
And him and Daniel Bryan have an exchange about it and about how he's not there starts in their conversation, there starts to be this contrast drawn between the indie guys who have been dreaming about being in the WWE for 10 years and a guy like Corbin. He's like, oh, it took me one phone call to get here. One phone call. And it builds to a pretty dramatic crescendo. So we'll play a little piece of that.
And then I'm going to look down on you and say, look what I did. I surpassed anything you ever accomplished.
You know what? And that's something that rubs me. The whole Nikki Bella thing got me fired up. No, this is going to get me fired
up. It's the lack of respect.
You're expecting a general manager to do work for you. I didn't have a general manager who was pushing me to be the best. I had to push past the general manager to be the best. I had to fight everybody to get an opportunity. I lost in 18 seconds at WrestleMania and ended up main eventing 2 years later. And that wasn't because I had help from a GM. It wasn't because I had buddies in the office. It's because I went out there and I was the best. I was the best. I challenged you.
Cheered your name and they chanted yes.
Go out there and
yes,
be the best.
The best. I put Swagger down in less than 2 minutes tonight. He's a former world champion, a Division I wrestler. I put his head on the barricade and I crushed it with my forearm. Then I put him in the ring and I hit him with the End of Days and it was over. So what do you have for me next?
Jesus.
I just got his edge voice. I just give me one phone call to get here.
That's so scary. That sounds like, what's that movie? Okay.
Sounds of the Lambs.
No, the one where he's wearing a bodysuit. Men in Black.
Men in Black.
So it's like, water and sugar, please.
He's wearing an Edgar suit.
Yeah,
that's a bug in an Edgar suit.
That really hurt my heart.
Yeah.
That Baron Corbin thing, not Men in Black.
You know what?
I really liked Men in Black.
He's way better on the mic than I gave him credit for.
Well, all of them are if you let them speak from the damn heart. If you let them say things that they actually believe, they're all much better. And talking smack is obviously this platform where they just give them a talking point. Let them talk, you know?
You know, Danielle's not here this week. Can we just take a quick flash poll of the room of which brand we like better, Raw or SmackDown? SmackDown?
SmackDown.
SmackDown.
Oh, I guess that's a majority rules. This is now the SmackDown show.
Oh, tell
Danielle.
Baby, baby.
Nobody tell Danielle. I don't want to get in trouble.
Danielle, you're my brand of choice.
Yes.
Oh.
We all love you, Danielle. Come to the dark side of SmackDown.
Come to my window.
What do you want to put over? Melissa Etheridge? Is that what you're putting over?
I'm going to put over Melissa Etheridge. She's doing a lot of work. She has a new CD coming out.
And that's you are true. Wearing a flannel.
I'm wearing a flannel. That's true. All of this is true. Correct. Well, two things I have to say. First of all, happy National Bosses Day to Dario Cueto. I love you.
And Sasha Banks.
It's not legit boss day.
Oh,
it's just
sorry.
Regular
it's
boss.
Just
that's
regular
tomorrow.
Boss. It's just like, yeah, tomorrow was Sasha Banks' legit boss day. But I'm going to put over Paul Heyman's promo calling out Goldberg. When he says, Bill, nothing tickled me more. Because he goes, Bill. And then he like looks at the camera like, what? What are you going to do about it? The whole promo, I'm a Paul Heyman guy. Anything Paul Heyman does is gold. But this specifically, the way he said Bill was such like a mean Kathy high school girl way to say Bill. Just be like, oh, are you going to do something, Bill? It's so great. I would love to listen to it if you have it, Julia.
Do you ever wonder why Brock Lesnar did not challenge you face-to-face? Why Brock Lesnar didn't challenge you icon-to-icon, eyeball-to-eyeball? It's because Bill... Brock Lesnar doesn't even think about you anymore. You're not worth the sweat off Brock Lesnar's tuchus.
Tuchus,
yes,
he says.
Honey. Yes.
Yes.
Yes, honey.
Yes.
Oh, I love that.
Yes.
Bill.
Yes.
Bill.
Slay, Paul. Yes.
Yes, Paul. Slay. Yes. Got it, daddy. Yes.
I want... Girls rule the world.
Yeah.
And the girl I want to put over, who is a woman.
Yes.
Who had a great... First of all, let's just say, I think... The top two women's wrestling characters right now are each on one brand. I think Charlotte, to me, Charlotte is number one on Raw. The number two character in the women's division on either show is Alexa Bliss, who is doing some of the best heel work in all of professional wrestling. I love the Freddy Krueger outfit this week. Slay.
Slay queen.
But I also enjoyed she had a clean win over Naomi while being a heel. She built heat throughout the entire match. And then afterwards, immediately in the ring, Renee Young comes in and interviews her. And she gets some great heat in this interview. Listen.
Let's just say this. In 3 weeks, the fairy tale is over. The glass slipper doesn't fit. There's no more happily ever after. And the Wicked Witch is dead. That night, there will be a new champion crowned. And that champion will be the fairest of them all. Me. Alexa Bliss.
Old school heat.
I love it.
Yeah, old school heat.
I love how she's old like blown up from the match and still able to channel all of that rage.
Yeah.
Like,
she's so
speaking from the heart.
That was awesome.
It was so good. So, so good. Well, that does it for this week on Tights and Fights.
No.
But let me play just a quick slow jam as we do these end credits, if that's all right. Yeah. Julian, can you hit me with it?
It's my favorite part.
Yeah. We are a podcast on the Maximum Fun Network.
You know what it is, girl.
This week, our hosts are Mike Eagle, Rachel Sam Evans, along with me, Hal Loveland.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to hear more from Rachel,
and we do,
find her on the YouTube show After Buzz, talking about Lucha Underground. Our producer, an occasional voice from the outside, is Julian Burrell.
You know he's a man.
Senior producer of Maximum Fun is Colin Anderson.
He's so much fun.
Yeah. Mike Eagle is the voice behind our theme music as well. So, hey, Mike, thank you for that.
You're so welcome.
You remember to tell all your fellow marks about the podcast and give us a kind review on iTunes.
That's right, kindness.
You're our best bet to help this show grow. So your iTunes reviews and shares are always appreciated.
Go ahead, baby, make it big, make it
you
big.
Find us at facebook.com/group/tightsfights and at tightsfights on Twitter to get plenty of wrestling stuff all week long.
Our DMs are so open.
Yeah. Slide on into those DMs.
That's right.
Boy or girl, it's 2016. I don't care who you are.
That's right.
We'll be back next week for even more, you guessed it, wrestling.
Oh my God, y'all. What the fuck was that?
Ties and Bites Podcast. Ties and Bites.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.